Elliot Friedman, NHL Insiders, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. Elliot, I've been forced to ask you this as the very first question. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning.
So would you rather watch...
You're going to ask him.
...today's World Cup, FIFA World Cup draw with the inimitable Sepp Blatter, wonderful human being, or would you rather watch Seattle-Toronto from last year? I'm changing the question.
No, that's
again.
Not. That's
just
not
to get a scout. Okay, fine. Okay, this year's MLS Cup final. Yeah. There's a politically correct answer, but there's also an intriguing answer. Do you like
You're
draws?
You're the only one.
Do you like draws and drafts? You love draft shows and draws and the, especially the draws. Are you with me at all?
I'm not with you, but I would be intrigued because knowing FIFA, they'd probably have Italy and the United States in the draw.
They do. They've thrown in two extra ping pong balls.
Before the quadrennial, in leading up to the last World Cup, I covered like the big draw in Brazil for CBC. That was actually a really cool assignment. I went down to Rio for 4 days and did it. It was really exciting, actually. I loved it.
All right, great. I picked Leafs Oilers last night. That's what I picked. Give me a choice of the three of them. I would pick that
one.
What
do you think Chris Russell would rather watch? The World Cup draw or the video of last night's third period?
Well, he scored twice.
Or Barney. You know, that was brutal to watch last night.
Oh, my God.
I think because he actually, you know, in the battle between the Oilers and their fans right now, which is a very significant battle, Chris Russell is one of the flashpoints because he got a 4-year contract in the off season, and he played actually a great game last night. Mm-hmm. He played close to 30 minutes. He had a goal and assist. He had one of his best games in the season, and he ended with that. And he was clearly going to try to knock the puck off the around the boards and off the glass, and he just put it on net. And you know, I remember a game years ago. I think it was the first overtime game ever at the ACC in the regular season after the Leafs moved there. And they played Buffalo. And it was in OT, and Mike Pekka made a horrible giveaway for the Sabres, and Steve Thomas scored. And we opened the door to the Buffalo room, and Pekka was sitting there still in his gear. He was the only guy. Leaned against one of the walls of his stall, and he looked like, you know, his dog just died. And I was the first guy in the room, and I said, can we talk? And he looks at me and he goes, that's what I'm here for. I blew this game. And I guess when the doors opened last night, Russell was standing right there, same thing.
Good.
He's like, I'm going to answer for this. It's the worst.
I know, but good for him for being there, because you and me and Elliot and Hugh, and we've all seen guys run. We're like, where is that guy? Oh, he went home already. Oh, he snuck out the back door. So he became accountable, and there is that to consider.
I'll give you a story of a guy who probably felt worse than anybody ever, and I'm surprised that a teammate to put him in that position. It was a playoff game between the Canadiens and the Quebec Nordiques, and Mark Hunter had an empty net to have the Canadiens deliver a victory, and he didn't score. But his brother did to win the game. And Larry Robinson at the end of the game, and you can hear him from the other side of the dressing room yelling, if anybody had to beat us, why that guy? And I'm thinking Mark Hunter sitting right next to you, and he's the guy that didn't win the game for you.
You can easily tell somebody you hate their brother, though.
Everybody hated Dale on the ice.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. Well, it's like last week at the Grey Cup. Like that guy Jordan, like he knew he screwed up. I'm sure he felt terrible. And he gets his teammate calling him out after the game. Like, it's just brutal.
And then he gets Elliot Friedman calling him out. And then look out.
That's
look
right.
out.
Nah. I feel bad enough as it
I
is.
I know. No, exactly. But I'm saying you're calling out the call out is what you. And we all should. We all did. Leafs Canucks tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on CBC. We brought this up. They have not won the span of the two Alberta games and Vancouver. They lost 11 since 1999-2000. Glenn Healy got the winning was the winning goalie in that final game against Calgary. So it's been a while. They've lost in Vancouver. I think they lost 11 straight in the season history. And you always knew for about a 5-6 year span when the Leafs went there what was going to happen and how bad it was going to be. If they come home with 6 points out of six, Elliot, I mean, it's just an extra 2 points, okay? But I feel like that'll rise like an ocean of expectations grows a little bit higher for what this team is and what they're going to do. Even if you're not feeling good already, you will be feeling better than you feel after doing that.
you know what? If you get 6 out of 6 on a road trip, it doesn't matter how good those teams are. That's pretty good. That's outstanding. And you're right. It doesn't take a lot for the expectations to go crazy here. That was kind of a weird game last night. They kept on trying to give it back. They could have run Edmonton out of the building in the first period, and Edmonton really kept on, you know, coming back at them. That was a good win. That was an entertaining game. You know, the thing about Vancouver is all their fans are going to be mad because they have to play at 4 o'clock. They all complain about that. So the building's kind of ornery, and the fans are a little nutty. And, you know, the Canucks are kind of all of a sudden in it out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody expected it. They're probably going to have some ceremony tomorrow night for Daniel Sedin hitting 1,000 points. They all love Besser. They're mounting a Calder campaign for him. That's going to be an outstanding atmosphere in that game tomorrow night. And if the Leafs do get out of there with a win, it's going to be a heck of a win. So if you come back with 6 points in 6 games, yes, the fans, the expectations are going to go up. But if I was that team, I'd feel really good about myself.
Everybody would answer the question the same way. If the Leafs wanted to make a trade, where would they go as far as which position to fill? Everybody knows. There wasn't that player available during free agency, and you wonder who's going to be available. Look at what's available now. And then, guys, every now and then there's somebody, Sammy Vatanen gets traded, and so maybe there's someone else like him. Was he a fit for the Leafs? Did they miss out here?
That's a big price to pay, Adam Henrique. You know, who's the comparable player on Toronto that's going to Anaheim for him?
Well, we said earlier, it's not – you can't get that deal done by substituting Tyler Bozak for Adam Henrique. But you also are – I think Kadri and Henrique are more comparable, and if they were on the exact same contract, I'd think that's a comparable that Leaf fans – hey, 80% of Leaf fans would blanch at that because you love your own players. I get that. But
that's the thing. Would you trade Nazem Kadri?
I would. If Henrique was on the deal that Kadri was on with the Devils, if I'm Ray Shiro – I don't know that I even did that. I worry it's too much for Sammy Vatanen because we're seeing, and you know this is where we're at with this, the culture of finding a top 4D, Elliot. It always feels like somebody overpaid. It's not just the obvious haul for Larson. It just feels like, unless you're renting the guy at the deadline, it feels like teams struggle with overpaying. They do.
You have to give up a lot. There's no question about it. And, you know, the Leafs have been in on Vatanen before. And... excuse me, I think it was quite a while ago. And last year when they went down to, remember they went to Nashville, Lamoriello and Babcock, they're in the Western Conference Final to watch Anaheim and Nashville. I think he was one of the guys they were looking at. So they have circled around Vatanen a couple of times. So, and I just think that it comes down to that. If you look what the price was for New Jersey to give up, I don't think Toronto was giving up the comparable player if it was Kadri. I think Kadri is too important a part of this group right now that unless you're getting, I don't know, like an Ekman Larson, you're not doing that.
What I mean, if they were
turn that mic on.
I know, if they were to make an offer, because we talked about it. We talked about it earlier this morning, and I try to find a package for them that would include Kapanen, Connor Brown, a draft choice, maybe a third player. Is there not enough there? I mean, Connor Brown has had a pretty good rookie season. It looks like he can score in this league. Just suggesting on what might have been enough to entice.
Well, I do. The Connor Brown name you mentioned is intriguing because, you know, in Anaheim is Dave Nonis, who drafted Connor Brown. And I do think that if the Leafs were going to get in that kind of a conversation with the Ducks, Connor Brown was the name was going to be in it. That Anaheim probably would have wanted him. Because, like I said, he is a guy that Dave Nonis drafted. And I remember a year after Dave Nonis drafted him, I had a conversation with him about it. He was still the GM of the Leafs. And I said, is he going to make it? And he said, absolutely, that guy 100% is going to make it. We're just going to have to wait 2 more years. He said, when we drafted him, you know, based on his potential, but we weren't sure. He said, after a year of him in the American Hockey League, we were sure that he was going to be an NHLer, but it was going to take 3 years. So last year when they were scouting Anaheim, I checked into it, and that was one of the names I heard. I heard he was going to have to be part of the deal, but he wasn't going to be enough. And to be honest, if it's Brown and Kapanen or something else, or Henrique, if I was the Ducks, I would probably take Henrique. First of all, I don't think it ever got to that point with Toronto. And secondly, they wanted a guy who could play center. And I think that that was the tipper.
I think that's fascinating. I do remember Nonis being really high on Connor Brown, and sometimes it works. I do have some Brian Burke, Tyler Biggs quotes I'd like to share with you. Maybe off air. You know, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be right now. When you look at this division and the landscape of it, and I think we've talked about the it looks like there's two teams and there's six, but there might there might be two, one team because of the supernatural goaltender they have. And now this is the first morning we've woken up, done our show, and Toronto's in second and Montreal's in third all year. And Detroit is sinking like a stone. Three overtime losses in six games. Ottawa's got one bonus point in their last seven. We'd be more likely to rule Detroit out than Ottawa because of the nature of where that franchise is right now. But does this, with Carey Price back, seeing what you've seen so far, it's there's never a guarantee, but it looks likely, it's quite possible we have a Toronto Montreal first round in the 2-3 seedings.
No, it would be awesome. It would be outstanding. You'd want to freeze the standings now, but
yeah.
I mean, look, it's like Greg, I always blame my parents, Greg, that I was born too late to cover a Montreal Quebec playoff series.
You would have stood out at age 12. Yeah, in the room. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Sorry.
Look what you've done to him.
I'm sorry.
Stay away from Canadians Nordique. Look at what you've done.
No, but it was one of the things I've never gotten to do, and I would love to do would be Toronto Montreal. And it's so funny because 2 weeks ago, like, Montreal's burning and we're trading everybody out of that city and we're trading Price because they're saying, oh, they're struggling. Who wants to, maybe they don't want to keep him. Maybe he doesn't want to stay. And then we're reminded of why that guy is worth every penny of that extension. And it's because, you know, he comes back. Now they've won four in a row. He was hurt and he just played back to back too. You know, the Montreal Canadiens are a completely different team, obviously, with Carey Price in goal. Now, here's the thing. If he's playing like that, would you want to play Montreal in a first-round series?
There is that. Yeah,
be careful what you wish for, right? All right, Toronto, Montreal in the playoffs. You feel good about your Maple Leafs, but you know you got Carey Price. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you got a point there.
See, we'll play somebody else. You know, the other thing, too, I thought was really interesting yesterday was Drew Doughty comes out with those comments, and he is so funny. Like, he sees the media coming, and he's like, all right, what am I going to do today that's going to set the world ablaze? And he's like, okay, I'd love to play in Toronto, and I got to make more than P.K. Subban, and I want to play in L.A., but I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell he just loves this. And then you've got Ottawa in the middle of that losing streak, and he puts Carlson in it because he says they're the same agent.
That's right.
So he says, we're going to talk about it because we should find out what we both want. And you've got Ottawa in a losing streak, and you know the media is going to go to Carlson, and he's probably in an awful mood because the team is going through a tough time. And at this, and he says, you know what? I'm getting my money's worth. I'm not taking a hometown discount. I mean, yikes. Like, that's a tough one for the Senators today. And Carlson's worth every penny he's going to get. But you're asking him when the team is at a low point, and you know that he's sitting there saying, you know, I really don't want to deal with this right now, but I'm so upset at the way we're playing that there's no way I'm coming for less money. And, like, it's a tough day for the Senators and their fans to hear that.
Elliot Friedman, in letting you go and taking you full circle, I was the guy standing outside the dressing room covering the Nordique Canadiens game when Larry Robinson yelled that about Mark Hunter and Dale Hunter. And Claude Mouton was the PR guy for the Montreal Canadiens. I didn't want to go in the room because Larry was yelling. I went, like, the door was open. I thought, we're not supposed to be in there right now. And he said, yes, not only are you supposed to, but that was for you. That was for the media.
Elliot, it's important to point out that every back then for Elliot Price, every month was Movember. It's important to. Sorry.
Look, you kill,
I'm not trying
it.
To do this.
Well, don't make him laugh. It's just he needs to rest. He's got a very busy night coming
up
tomorrow.
I hear you.
All right. Go rest.
Thanks, Friedman.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.